There's a river bar on the Chena River, upstream of the Chena River, called Van Curler's Bar. Mr. and Mrs. Van Curler mined up in that area in the 20s, maybe the early 30s. And finally, when he got crippled, too crippled to continue, they moved into Fairbanks. Someone asked Mrs. Van Curler one time to sit down and write her experiences. I don't know if it was when she was invited to join the Pioneer Women of Alaska, or exactly when, but at any rate, I have here some very, very fragile pieces of paper that Mrs. Van Curler, these are quite old, that's why they're fragile. They weren't too fragile when she wrote it, apparently, but they're written on, look like newspaper copy paper. And unlike some of the ladies who were asked to write their history, Mrs. Curler wrote her some history. It's too bad that people like this aren't alive today to interview. I'm going to read what Mrs. Van Curler wrote. If I'm able to read it, I'll probably stumble all the way through this. This, by the way, came from personal files of Pioneer Alaskan, who's letting me look at it and read it and record it. Catherine Van Curler. I'm a pioneer of Alaska, a real pioneer. My husband and I landed in Skagway, August 24th, 1898, where we lived until the next September. We took the train over the White Pass to Whitehorse, where we bought a boat and, with a man with us, started a 7-day trip to Dawson. Back in 99, I think the train went up to Bennett, and then you took the boat over Bennett and picked up the railroad in the other end. At any rate, I'll go back to what Mrs. Van Curler writes. We camped under the trees every night during our 7 days and nights over rough water through 30 Mile, through Lake LaBarge, down the Yukon, through Five Finger and Hell's Gate. For every minute we would think it was our last ride on earth. The water was so rough. We passed many, many wrecked boats, but we made the long, dangerous trip to Dawson in 7 days without any mishap. 16th of September, 1899, we landed in Dawson, where we got a cabin and lived 3 months. The only windows we had was empty beer bottles for windows. Every other bottle was upside down, set in as a long window, and corked in between each bottle with moss. In December, we moved to Bonanza, where my husband worked a lay 3 years. Then we moved over on Hunker Creek, where he worked a lay until we took the steamer for Fairbanks, Alaska in August of 1904. 24th of August, arriving in Fairbanks, apparently, where we have resided ever since. Never have been outside of the territory since, never been outside since the first coming here in 1898. Since arriving in Fairbanks, have seen many ups and downs, more downs than ups. We both have worked very, very hard, built our own cabin in 1904. In 1907, we cut our own trail up the Chena River with 3 dogs and small outfit, camped wherever night overtook us. Next summer we came to Fairbanks by poling boat. Him and I started up the Chena River with 1,900 pounds in our boat. It took us 30 days to make 160 miles by water. When the worst water I can't read or write in here. The worst water ever pulled upstream by any woman and man, almost one continuous riffle and swift water. We landed at our mine October 1st, 1907, where real work began to build a cabin without a horse or nails to help to make it with. Mrs. Vancouver doesn't use any punctuation, so it gets a little confusing here occasionally. Husband cut the logs and poles to cover the roof. We hauled them on skids to the boat, put them in the boat, pulled them up to where we built our first real home in Alaska. I peeled the roof poles while he got the logs ready. He hewed, H-E-W-E-D, H-E-W-E-D, looks like hewed. He hewed the logs on one side, then we put the logs up as far as we could, put them up. When it got too high to reach, he put up a rope around each log. We pulled them up by arm power. But in 10 days, we had a three-room cabin made by whip-sawed all lumber we needed. He whipsawed all the lumber we needed alone, which was a real man's job. But we had a nice, cozy home. Next spring, we cut timber, which was in 1908, to put in a dam of 600 feet long across the Chena River. Then our trouble began to cut a new channel, for to take the water of the river. We cut moss and niggerheads by the day and weeks, and we took our pick and shovel and started to dig an opening for the water to go through. Oh, the weary hours we spent to cut that new channel, no one knows but ourselves. Worked from 12 hours to 20 hours a day. In 3 years we had it cut through, drying 1/2 mile of the main river. Then he and I whipsawed lumber enough to make 48 boxes and 14 flume boxes. Set them up and started to shovel in the bed of the river. We worked 1 month. A big rain came, rained the river until our new channel would not take all the water, so it tore out 80 feet of our dam, took lots of our tools we had been working with. We had the boxes and flume all tied together with cables and ropes. They just swung around. Saved them, and we started to work on the new channel to widen it and make it deeper where we worked until October. Then we started to put in the broken part of our dam. We went up river 1/2 mile, cut our timber. He and I packed it 1,000 feet on our shoulders to the river, where we put it in and floated it to our dam to patch the hole with. Then after landing all the timber we needed, we started and cut alders and chunks of moss to put on the toe piling when we was ready for to put them in. We carried it all in by hand, barrow him on the front hand barrow, him on the front end and I on the back end, where we packed moss until 2 o'clock in the morning. Go home to rest a while, get a cup of coffee, do the same thing over again, packing moss when we got enough packed what we thought would cover our piling. Then we started closing up the break, worked all day and up to 3 o'clock in the morning to close it. Then we took the boat loaded in tons and tons of rock to put on our moss in front of the... Well, let me go back over that. Then we took the boat loaded in tons and tons of rock to put on our moss in front of the piling. Oh, the weary hours we put in, early and late. But we got it in 10 days. We started to sluice again, sluiced until it broke up, but the next spring after But the next spring, after what we thought all danger was past, our dam went out again. We put it in again, with many days of hard work and sleepless nights, as all timber and moss had to be carried in again, only farther away. Went to sluicing again. It went out three times during that summer. Each time we put it in, each time a little harder. Got but a week or 10 days of sluicing that season, but had everything ready for a good season the next spring. Got our summer wood hauled and sawed up. A couple young fellows came along, so we hired them for the summer. Got to sluicing early. Look forward to a good summer's work. But disappointment got in the way again. Everything was going along so nice, and I had killed a moose front of the house, and we was rejoicing at my good luck. But the weather did not look very good by evening. It was quite cloudy, and I said to my husband and the two boys, hadn't we better clean up the boxes in case it rains? And cause the river to raise and the dam to break. Oh no, Van said. We have the boxes well tied, and I don't look for the water to raise much, and I believe the dam will stand the raise. But at 3 o'clock, I heard, I'm not sure what her word is here, something racket. I jumped out of bed, saw our dam grinding along downstream. I called Van and the two boys. They came running out, just in time to see a large tree strike the flume. They started to fall back. The cable they was tied together with and took 7 days sluicing for three men, besides 48 boxes and 16 flume boxes. It was a sorrowful thing to see all our grub money and two men's wages going downstream, besides oh so much hard labor. Next day the water had gone down enough, so we went to find the shovels and picks and pans and all tools, but everything gone, besides the boxes. Gold that was in the boxes was gone. We traveled down a half mile below from where they had been working. We found one sluice box turned upside down. We turned it over. We took the riffles out of it. Got 1 ounce of gold. We went a little further down. Found another box with one riffle left in it. Got 1/2 ounce in that. Well, that was all we had for our winter grub steak, and 10 cents a pound for freight. Van was terrible discouraged, so we let the two boys go, paid each $20, until we could pay them up. Well, we decided we would put the dam in again. We started at the same old thing, cutting and carrying out timber on our shoulders to the river, run it down river to the dam, cut moss, pack that in, by the days, got everything ready. We found 100 feet had gone out, but we both started with a stout heart and lots of willpower, and by the time we got it in, it was freezing up in the fall. Then we got our winter meat, got it cashed, then we started cutting logs for saw logs for boxes next spring. Hauled them 1/2 mile with our 5 faithful dogs by sled. Hauled them 1/2 mile with our 5 faithful dogs. By December, we had cut and hauled in 48 logs. Then it was time to start to town for our outfit. Van made 3 trips with the dogs hauling freight to save the 10 cents a pound. I stayed alone while he made the trips alone, gone 15 to 20 days each trip. Not a person did I see during all those days. From 1910 to 1917, I stayed to home every winter and in summer helped my husband shovel. That's 7 years, she says, she stayed home and helped her husband shovel. He made the trips to town. And each day by then we got our dam to hold, so it did not break again until the flood of 1929. Then it went out about the whole length of it. And as we was both wore out from hard work, and Mr. Van was so bad with his back and hips, we could not put it in again. But during our hard luck and hard work, we both enjoyed the life we lived. Then we thought we would spend the winters in Fairbanks. We would come down that long 80 miles with 3 dogs and camp outfit. And 5 days grub on the sled. That was before any road housed on the road. We would pitch tent or, if too tired, spread our robe on spruce boughs, roll in tired out. Snow to one's knees. Get up at daylight, hit the trail again after eating a very light breakfast. Can't read this next, these next words. Mast to light for our long trail ahead of us. Then we made up our mind that the trips were getting to be hard on us and we both had to walk both coming and going. I have walked that 80 miles 5 times one trip coming to town. I had 30 pounds on my back. Van had 45 pounds on his back. All of our dogs had died but one, so that meant walk. As I said, the trips was getting too hard on us, so we decided to come down in the fall by boat, go back in the spring with our outfit. We were to start with 1,800 pounds in our boat. Van and I pulled that 160 miles up the Chena River to our mine over the roughest water we ever ran downstream. It used to take us 15 to 20 days to land it. We made 4 trips by boat. The river got so bad so it was not safe with the boat as the river was breaking new channels every summer. So we quit poling our outfit upriver. Then we bought a horse. Freighted with him 3 winters. The 3rd spring he fell over a steep bank, landed on some logs, broke his back. Another hard blow to the Van Curlers. That next year went back to dogs for another few years. Then we bought another horse. We done our freighting with him 4 years. I made 1 trip alone with the faithful old animal. I started with 1,800 pounds on the double ender, had to make 4 camping places during the trip. He was so tall I had to take a block of wood to stand on to put on his harness. Got in bad snow drifts. I had to shovel him out of several drifts before I got home. But I enjoyed every minute of my long trip alone. I had a rooster in a box taking home with me so that kept me company. So that kept me company, as he would crow and crow as soon as he saw daylight. I was on the trail 4.5 days. It snowed and blowed, filled the road full of snow, 4 and 5 feet high. But I got home without any trouble. A little hard shoveling the horse out of deep snow once in a while. In 1930, we got stranded with our outfit. The freighter we got to take it up, his team played out about 45 miles from home, so we had to cache our outfit on a big niggerhead, flat, no timber to do anything with, so we put what grub we had in a big pile. We had 2,800 pounds with grub and tools of different kind. Put it in a tent and put a tent over it all and tied it down good with, I don't know what it, can't read that. And put what our three dogs could haul on the haul sled and started for home. By that time the snow was going fast, but by traveling nights we made it in 3 days, or rather nights. So when the ice was just about all out in the spring, Van built a scow and we started down 80 miles by river for our outfit. We took the three dogs and a toboggan all in the scow. We had to haul our outfit 1.5 miles after getting to where we cached it, to the river. Hauled it with three dogs before we could haul that 2,500 pounds to the river, that 1.5 miles. That road had to be corduroyed. We took both our axes and started to cut timber 8 feet long and as large as a stovepipe, and packed it out to where we had to start in on the road. We cut and packed timber 2.5 days, where we had to lay it across the road every foot apart. On the third day we started with the toboggan to haul that outfit to the river. When we got there to the cache, a bear had got in and destroyed about 400 pounds of our dogs. About 400 pounds. Our dogs smelled the bear and ran away from us, but when we got to the cache, they was waiting for us. So we put on 200 pounds and started for the river. We used to haul 3 loads a day. It took us 4.5 days to haul it to the river. Van Curler got the bear just about the time we had it all hauled. It was a big black one. Then the fifth day we loaded our boat to see about what we could do about pulling it up the river. We put 1,900 pounds in the scow. So we built a high cache, cached the balance of the outfit. We peeled bark and covered the cache with it. On the ninth day, we started for our home with the scow and outfit. Oh man, then our troubles began. We got about 15 miles where it took 8 days of hard pulling and waiting to get it that far there. We took off 250 pounds and cached it in a cabin. Now maybe you don't think we had some time. The riffles was so steep. We had worked 5 hours to get over one riffle. So tired we would be wore out when night came. Work from 5 o'clock in the morning until 10 and 11 o'clock at night. We would get out and eat our breakfast and start out working until 10 or 11 o'clock at night again. Pulling that boat, take our blanket, roll up and place any place we could, Pulling that boat, take out our blanket, roll up any place we could find dry timber for a fire, so we could, so cold and wet. Of course, that was all in the day's work. We had 250-foot line. Sometime Van would be pulling and I leading the scow, and sometime I would take the line and go ahead and Van would lead the scow when we'd come to a bad riffle. An axe would go the length of the, an
a riffle. One of us would go to the length of the line and tie it to a tree ahead of us as far as our line would reach. Then hand over hand we would pull up to where we had it tied. Next bad piece of water we came to, we would do the same thing. Once again by pulling ourselves up the river. One day Van was tying the rope, the 250 foot ahead. I was holding the boat. A big moose came out of the woods, crossed our line, almost pulled it out of Van's hands. But he dropped it down so the moose was gone. No. So he dropped it down so no harm was done. We pulled and tied lines until we pulled and tied lines until was all in until we were was all in. Laid up for one day for to rest. We saw bear, moose, beaver, mink, otter, and caribou. We got about 40 miles from home. We both was wore out. We went in a relay cabin. And Van built a windlass, fastened to the bow of the scow, and put the 250 boat rope on it. When we got to a bad riffle, we would windlass ourselves up over it. Oh, it was such a big help to us in getting the scow up. We got within 25 miles of our home, so we stopped at an old cabin and made another cache. Cached all of our grub, stayed 4 days to rest up, then we started for home. Each of us put on a pack on our back of what we was short of at home. I had butter and baking powder. Van had flour and I had 24 pounds. He had 35 pounds on his back. We put canned stuff on the dogs' backs. Each one was loaded. We had 25 miles of niggerheads to travel over. Anyone who ever traveled over them knows what they are like to travel over. And we thought the mosquitoes would eat us up before we got home, as they were out full force. We got home at 5 o'clock in the evening, wore out. We was gone lacking 3 days of being a month. That was our last river work. Can't read what Mrs. Van Curler writes here. I have been something by a bear, saved by one of our faithful dogs. Have killed have killed 22 bears to save our grub from being destroyed. Anyway, their last river work was in the year of 31. In 1933, we came to Fairbanks. As Van's health gave out with hard work and hardship. And in 1935, I had the misfortune of getting mixed up in an FE truck, had my leg broke 3 places, and foot badly hurt. Laid in the hospital 10 months, where everyone was kind to me. Thanks to the doctors and nurses. So ended our long usefulness to Alaska. As a pioneer at hardship and hard work, but we feel proud that we are pioneers, but we will never get the credit as one. But they cannot take that memory from us of being man and wife, of helping make Alaska. This was dated October 17th, 1936, at Fairbanks, Alaska.